Inside Job Boy.
Oh, and we're back. We're back on this day. You might not be listening to this on the day that we're recording it, but honestly, it seems too serendipitous that we record on Tuesdays, and today happens to be September 11th, 2018.
Yes. If it's the first time listening, welcome to the Bones and Tep Show.
Yes.
We've got a healthy new audience growth.
Yes. We are Bones and Tubs, individuals questing for truth.
Yeah.
Like two rogue knights.
We got our names from years of drug use, you know, marijuana.
Yes.
1950s detective names. I'm Bones because of my bony frame.
And I'm Tubbs because I'm a rotund fellow.
More to love.
Yeah.
But we've been waiting to do this episode for a long time. A lot of people have been like, when are you guys going to do 9/11?
We've been waiting to pull the trigger on this, and we just decided, we saw the calendar, and we're like, man, fuck it.
Yeah.
It's time. So, because I was waiting. I didn't know when I wanted to do it. I wanted to either wait until Serendipity told me to do it, or...
I think we mentioned doing one.
Or it was going to be our 100th episode.
Yeah, it would have been a good one. But at the same time, we came upon this one. What is this, 87 or 88?
Something like that, yeah.
But, I mean, it's on 9/11, so...
Don't worry about that 100th episode, by the way.
You got it?
I think I know what we need to do.
Okay.
I don't want to reveal it to our audience yet, though. Let it be a surprise for them.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean... We've been talking conspiracy for a long time, so...
I like conspiracy. It's where we live. Because a lot of times, I mean, especially if you look up, like, the definition, it just means a group of people came together to make a plan.
Yeah.
That's all it means.
Uh-huh.
So technically, we conspired to make a podcast.
Yeah. Every week, for you, the listening audience.
If you and some of your friends both, you know, or all enjoy the Bones and Tubs podcast, and you talk about downloading the newest episode together, you've created a conspiracy to listen to the Bones and Tubs podcast.
Oh, shit.
That's a conspiracy theory that I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, welcome back, and if this is your first episode, welcome.
Yes.
We hope you enjoy the show. Not particularly too much. I would cite an episode ago, we talked about HAARP.
Yeah.
And there is a hurricane on...
Three hurricanes.
Did
you see that shit?
Oh, shit.
Man. All back to back, going to my favorite vacation location.
Yeah,
destination, right? Location.
Yeah.
The Outer Banks.
It's about to hit our favorite... sunny destination.
Bitch. Yeah, that's crazy. I told my wife last night, I was like, you know, they've had the fucking technology to steer away or stop hurricanes or dissipate them for like the last 50 years, right? And she's like, well, they won't. Like, you apathetic, beautiful person, you.
Yeah.
Just I know the your cheek.
Trust me, I know the feeling.
Yeah. Cheeky one.
Yeah.
Well, at least we'll get... I hope everybody makes it out safe.
Like, I mean...
But we might also get cheap property down there now.
It's like I always told Toby. I was like, you're not gonna wake until... I was like, until somehow I end up getting killed.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you'll raise up banners for Bones and Tubs who were fucking murdered while doing a podcast.
Yeah, we'll be famous like Tupac, but only after we're like dead.
Yeah.
As fuck.
So... There is that.
Thug
but,
life.
You know, just to shout back to one of our more recent episodes.
Yeah.
Other than that, I really ain't got nothing else to say other than what we're about to talk about.
Yeah. Well, let's fucking jump on it.
Let's fucking do it.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and... We talked about laying it out as a timeline. We're going to try our best to stick to the timeline.
We're not going to do the normal... Buzz of Tubbs, Tarantino-inspired.
I've heard a lot of you like our Tarantino, but at the same time, this one deserves posterity because this is a tribute, more or less, to the families, in my opinion. I'm sure you agree.
Yeah.
But it's I think my massive obsession with 9/11 is the fact that it's 9/11 Truth, the movement, was started by family members.
Yeah.
Of the victims of 9/11, right?
Yeah.
And for the government and the media to come out and call them truthers like a... some sort of like a Holocaust denier type term.
Yeah.
Is fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
They were asking for answers to questions that the 9/11 Commission didn't answer.
Yes.
So we're doing our best to bring to light things you might not have heard about 9/11. Because the more light we shine on this, I mean, Trump himself, you know, the highest office in the presidency, you know, is the presidency, right? Allegedly, yeah. On paper. And he's even spouted some 9/11 truth comments before.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, actually, that, in a lot of circles, like entertainment even, that have made point of the 9/11 truth.
Other world leaders have as well. It's pretty much an open secret.
Yeah.
Only the strongly apathetic buy the narrative.
You know what they say, dank memes don't melt steel beams.
It's true. I'll tell you what does, though, and I'll cite this later on, but I found out what does melt steel beams.
What's it?
It was discovered in a NIST report.
Yeah.
That nanothermite.
Yeah, as I say, nanothermite probably does a fairly good job of melting steel beams.
I mean, we watched it on TV.
I would imagine.
Yeah. But we digress.
Yes.
So, anyway, sticking to our not hopping around as we just hopped
around. Fuck, we did it already.
Hopped around. We hopped around like a horn of gangbang.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to start, see here, with a person we've talked about in the past on our CIA episode. Part one or part two, I don't remember. But we did do a two-part series on CIA and its fucking history, so check that out. We're going to start the 9/11 story 18 months prior to 9/11 with one CIA asset, Susan Lindauer. Now, 18 months prior to 9/11, she mentions, and I'm going to have to ask you about this because I'm not sure what exactly the reason was for us to be in this engagement, but she says that, you know, 18 months prior to 9/11, U.S. soldier morale involved in some type of Iraqi conflict were at an all-time low. Their morale was shit because of the same thing that we're really going through today, which is just like a slow but steady murder slash maiming of U.S. troops with guerrilla warfare, suicide bombing, what have you. So she'd been tasked in her official duties. She worked with the United Nations, and she dealt directly with Afghan and Iraqi contacts, and her job basically was to negotiate peace. So let's see here. Basically, Saddam Hussein was completely against terrorism. He was afraid of terrorism because he was a despot.
Yeah.
He was afraid that it would gain popularity and he would be deposed through terroristic means.
Yeah.
So he was all on board, as were her contacts, with any type of anti-terrorism investigation we wanted to do over there. Through peace negotiations, she had secured a deal with the Iraqi government that would allow for U.S. weapons inspections, counterterrorism presence and investigations, even as far as going through all of their on-book and off-book money pipelines to see where the money was coming from and going. Their country had been so fucked by the sanctions that we had imposed that we had secured contracts through this peace deal with them. They were going to give us preferential oil deals. We were going to handle all the reconstruction. We were going to handle all of their medical supplies, pharmaceuticals, hospital rebuilds, school rebuilds. Iraq even committed to buying 1 million U.S.-made automobiles every year for 10 years. We also secured, which this apparently got the CIA's dick wet, we secured all of their telecommunications rebuild and maintenance contracts. Basically
the entirety of their infrastructure.
Yeah, and peace. You know, so we had all that on the table 18 months prior to 9/11 happening.
Yeah.
Bush got a hold of that peace deal 9 months prior to 9/11. And he took shit on it. Texas man style.
So big, meaty, chilly shit.
Yeah. So her CIA back channel had called her to a meeting in his office, said it was very important. And he said, look, don't go to New York City. Don't go to any planes that are flying into New York City. There's going to be either some type of a nuclear attack, a plane's going to be hijacked and laced with bombs and flown into the World Trade Center. This was in April of 2001. And then he instructed her to go back to the United Nations and talk to her Iraqi and Afghani counterparts and tell them, basically, like, if you don't give us all the information you find on a terrorist attack on the World Trade Centers with hijacked planes, we're coming at you. So she went back and told them, and they started their investigation into it. So, let's see here. 4 months prior to the attack, she was asked by her handler how that was going. She said, every time that I talked to them about it, because she'd been pushing them, for information. She said every time I talk to them about it, they say we've done everything we can with our intelligence services and everything, and the only thing we could come up with for a conspiracy on terrorism in New York leads back to you.
Huh.
And he said, you go back and you tell those motherfuckers. This comes from President Bush, Vice President Cheney, and Mr. Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
That if you don't tell us everything you know about a conspiracy, we will bomb you back to the fucking Stone Age. So basically, they found out we were going to do it to ourselves.
Yeah.
So then we move forward. At some point, let's see here, 1 week before 9/11, Zim Shipping Company had been involved in 30 years of a lease at the World Trade Center,
mm-hmm.
and it just decided to break its lease.
Huh.
Hashtag foreknowledge.
Yeah.
And then a few days before 9/11, a bunch of people made a lot of money. They put options mm-hmm. on United Airlines and a lot of other companies that were directly impacted by what happened on 9/11.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's crazy that they knew ahead of time, several yeah. days before, to put options, which a put option basically just states, I'm betting against this stock.
Mm-hmm.
So that's neat. And then one day before 9/11, 9/10/01, you can find this video on YouTube still. It's one of the ones that's still there that hasn't been censored out of existence. Donald Rumsfeld gets on TV at C-SPAN, and he starts talking about a missing $2.3 trillion that they can't account for at the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm. And that they were launching a formal investigation to find out where the money had gone.
Which allegedly was being taken part in the part of the Pentagon that was hit by that missile, the plane.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what I've got for a lead up to it.
Okay, then. And now comes the part where we try to delve into the timeline of the day.
Yes.
Right. Okay. This part's not going to be long because, and we'll have our own commentary to go with it. And then subsequently, we will be dissecting the official proclamations about 9/11 and trying to go through it with you guys. So I would steer it. So 8:46 a.m., Flight 11 crashes into the north side of Tower 1 between floors 93 and 99.
Mm.
So the first plane it hit.
Yes.
9:03 a.m., Flight 175 crashes into the south side of the South Tower between floors 77 and 85.
Okay.
Okay. 9:37, something, by official documentation, a plane.
Something, yeah.
Hits the western side of the Pentagon.
West side?
Okay. 9:59, South Tower collapses 56 minutes after impact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, less than an hour.
Yeah.
After the plane had hit it. 10:03, Flight 93 crashes southeast of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 10:20, North Tower collapses. And there's one more I'd like to add to the timeline.
Yes.
5:20 p.m., WTC 7.
The Solomon Brothers building.
Yes. Collapses. As part of the World Trade Center complex.
So that one... what time did the plane hit that building? What time did the plane fly into Building 7?
Oh, there's the no plane. The no plane hit it at exactly... Well, let me see here. Let me flip my pages, see what I got in my notes here.
Yeah.
Oh, it hit it at exactly never time.
Oh, never? So there was no plane that hit Building 7?
No.
So it was the third steel frame building in history to collapse due to fire?
Mm-hmm.
And then the first two to ever collapse due to fire were Tower 1 and Tower 2?
Yeah.
Ah.
Okay. So that's the official time. That's the official timeline that they gave us. To break down shortly for you, the official narrative that was given to us was that the jet fuel, right?
Yeah.
From the planes,
right?
Melted the steel beams that held the building up, and it collapsed under its own weight.
So they didn't.
Both buildings.
That's weird. So you're saying that a buildings that were built entirely of steel frames,
yes,
cross-sectioned, multiple sections of steel,
mm-hmm.
were impacted by a hollow aluminum tube
mm-hmm.
with virtually kerosene.
Yes.
The kerosene explodes on impact.
Yes.
As you can see in the video.
Mm-hmm.
And then
melted
several...
Steel frame of the building.
Huh. So that's weird. So it must have fallen at an angle then, where it was impacted, right? It didn't fall directly into its footprint.
No.
Oh, wait, it did.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Okay, so now it's time to break this down.
Okay.
Okay.
Do we have time for this, or should I put that in later?
Go ahead and put it in right now.
I wonder on the timeline. I tried to find this. We were talking about Building 7 a second ago. The BBC actually reported live from New York that the Solomon Brothers building, Building 7, had collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
They reported it twice. And both times you could still see the Solomon Brothers building in the background.
Hmm.
That's weird.
Interesting.
So I wonder...
Okay.
Maybe they read the script early.
Yeah. So, the architect of the Twin Towers...
Yes.
...has gone on the record to say that the building that he had designed was built to withstand a plane hitting it, right?
Yeah.
To put it in his words, it would be like throwing a pencil through a net.
Okay.
So, basically, you know, think of the frame of the building being the net.
Yeah.
The pencil would fly through it. It would destroy things, yes. It would make a big mess, yes.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't do anything to the net.
Okay.
If the net is impervious.
Right, because it's a fucking steel frame.
Yeah.
A modern engineering marvel.
It was built specifically and designed to withstand a terrorist attack from a plane being flown into it.
Yeah.
So, that being said, the next question is, if it wasn't the planes that made the building fall, what else could it have been? Now, mind you, the official narrative is that the buildings fell because the planes hit them.
What's the official narrative for Building 7? Office fire, right?
Office fire, yes. So,
paper, wood, plastic, drywall,
mm-hmm.
fire,
yeah,
melted steel frames in order for the entire 47-story building to fall into its own footprint at the speed of gravity?
Yes. Okay, so that being said, we have to understand that what they told us isn't true. Now, you're listening to the show right now, so obviously you must know that it's not true.
Let's push them over the edge.
And the thing is you would be surprised how many people that I've talked to in my life... and tried to convince them that what they gave us, the narrative that they fed us, the 9/11 Commission, is the truth. They believe it fully and wholeheartedly.
That's an active participant in ignorance. That's somebody that deliberately does not want to know the truth. Because if you just looked at it, you'd be like, that's fake.
Yeah.
Your story's bullshit.
Okay, so after the buildings fell... Well, no. I Tarantino'd it again.
That's fine.
Okay, so that day, as the planes had hit the building, first responders doing what they were supposed to do.
Yes.
And that's the thing. That's the one thing, I tell you what, I never want to diminish what they did. Because men and women, plenty of civilians, but first responders were there to help people.
Yeah.
Right? They went in and saved as many people as they could before those buildings fell.
Right. This would be a good time to put in that video of the firefighters, don't you think?
Yes.
Now, just a quick preface. Mm-hmm. This video didn't see the light of day until 11 years after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And it was brought about by a Freedom of Information Act request. Because the feds came in and took every single bit of recorded evidence of 9/11
mm-hmm.
and held on to it. We still don't have most of it. You know, there were... just a quick Tarantino.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because we're on the subject of videos mm-hmm. and cameras. Supposedly, there were 85 cameras on the Pentagon on the side that the quote-unquote plane hit it.
That it could have caught the footage.
Fully right? recorded it, yeah. Instead, they showed us this something like 3 or 4 frame footage of an explosion.
Yeah, something blurry flying past.
Yeah, that plane must have been going so goddamn fast that it just... Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But here's the video of the firefighters. They had one firefighter carrying a camera around, and he was like a rolling logbook.
Mm-hmm.
That way, when they had to do their reports later, they pretty much knew what was going on. Because you're obviously not going to remember all that
shit. Exactly. It was bedlam.
Now, they're fucked up.
Get Redial. Go ahead. Take it.
It's Redial. Did you press Redial?
Press redial.
You're on.
I got one.
Here.
No,
answer.
Busy.
3-1 Alpha, 3-1
Battalion. Yeah.
Robot.
6, send dial.
Thank you.
more Sigma.
Well, your phone. Cell phone's down.
Sorry, man. Sorry, I got blood on your phone.
Don't worry about it.
Anybody else got a phone?
What's the number you're calling? I'll try.
631-226.
I don't want to worry about
it. 9595. What channel is that, pal? Is it live? 631-226-9595. Tell my sister I'm okay.
What happened?
He was in an explosion. He was in the lobby and then fucking the third explosion, the whole lobby collapsed on us.
What was it like?
Horrible.
It's like hell. You don't want to know.
The whole building just collapsed on us inside the lobby.
Was that a secondary explosion?
Yes, it was.
That was the planet.
Yeah, definitely secondary explosion. But we was inside waiting to go upstairs, and on the way upstairs, the whole fucking plane blew, and we just collapsed on everybody inside the lobby.
Similar to the first tower coming down, secondary.
I don't know about the first one, but I know the second one was terrible. Then there was a third one too after that one.
Third explosion after that.
Yes, sir. Everybody was inside the building waiting to go upstairs. And they just let loose. Everything just let loose inside the building.
So what you tell me is that there was plane or whatever hit the building, then a secondary explosion.
It was like three explosions after that. We came in after the fire. We came when the fire was going on already. We was in the staging area inside the building,
okay,
waiting to go upstairs.
And then it exploded.
The whole lobby collapsed on the lobby inside.
And it's just mayhem after that.
Everybody tried to make their way out.
Just trying to help all the brothers get out.
A lot of people were trapped inside.
I was sitting in the Brooklyn Navy Yard across from Brooklyn. We watched the first explosion. As we're watching the buildings, we saw a black, very large airplane fly right into the second building. It came out of the south. Right in front of our eyes. Just, it was so surreal, like a movie set. Second and third explosions also, right?
We were in the building for the third one. It collapsed. On this drive here for the other one.
Just trying to find anybody to get the way out.
Beg your pardon? I'd say like 50% of what units that were on scene.
So far, everybody's
a lot of people in that building.
Take off your jacket.
Open up your jacket.
It's going to dehydrate there.
People that don't understand. There may be more. Any one of these buildings could blow up. This ain't done yet.
This is going to top of this. This could be no worse than this. Could be nothing no more worse than this. You're in the building trying to help people, and it's exploding on the inside the building. So I don't think it could get any worse than this.
What's your name, sir?
Tyrone Johnson.
What's that?
Flat Company 24.
So who are you trying to get a phone call to? I'll keep hitting redial.
My sister.
What's the number again?
631-226-9595. Tell her I'm all right.
What's your name?
Jimmy. Jimmy Grillo, out of 24.
Jimmy, what happened?
We were in the lobby gathering to go up and start doing a search on the upper floors. As we were getting our gear on and making our way to the stairway, there was a heavy-duty explosion. Everybody just started running for the door. Everybody was trapped. Eventually, when the dust lifted, I saw some light and started screaming for everybody to go out towards the light. I managed to get Tyrone out and a couple other guys that have already gone over to Jersey City via a boat. It was fucked. It was unbelievable in there. This guy's still trapped. We couldn't get to.
Message to your family?
Yeah, I'm alive. I'm okay.
Well, 933-2600.
As tragedies go, the people who do something like this can't even begin to.
They're animals. They're animals. It's an act of war. It should be war. Nobody's safe. We're not safe. Even near all these little buildings, we're not safe. Don't go too close.
Jimmy, you said, what is your last name?
Grillo. G-R-I-L-L-O.
And what ladder company are you from, Jimmy? 24
truck.
Tyrone, is everyone safe?
Take care of that.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
Tonight?
So far, everybody's all right.
Let me help Tyrone.
He's in there. He's in the building.
Sir?
I'm going to help. Jimmy, don't get too close, Jimmy. They're still blowing up.
Need O2? Yeah?
Okay, so clip's over. He describes in that video that they heard bombs going off.
Yeah.
Now,
heard and felt, right?
Now, to be fair, I will give the naysayers and the liars. I don't care. That's not unbiased, but they're liars. They're liars.
Right.
They explained that the sound that they were hearing that they referred to as bombs was in fact sounds of the steel beam snapping.
Okay, so they heard that in the basement then, like the firefighters that were standing on top of the fucking shit.
Yeah.
Suck my fucking balls.
Okay, so the firefighters described they heard bombs going off, right?
Yeah.
In both the buildings and I believe there was something about Tower 7 or Building 7 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. After the buildings had fallen, after the towers had fallen, and they were going in desperately trying to find survivors of the buildings falling, there were reports of molten steel in the rubble.
Yes.
Okay? Molten steel. Now, the narrative that they gave about how the jet fuel was able to make the steel beams collapse was that it heated it up just enough so it softened the steel and made it snap, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not actually melted it. Just softened it, right?
Right.
Okay. Then explain to me how there's molten steel found in the rubble of the building.
Right, or perfectly cut cross sections of steel beams.
Yes, you could see video. You could see pictures and video from what looks like perfectly cut cross beams. And let me ask you the main question here when it comes to that is I've seen what they have these strips when they do demolition, right?
Yeah.
Thermite strips. And they'll put them on the cross beams of buildings when they want to take it down, right? Those thermite strips, when detonated, give the same exact impression that you would see on those beams from the rubble of the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Completely and utterly coincidence, apparently.
Oh, most assuredly.
Okay.
I'm not sure what videos we'll be able to find because, as you saw trying to do research for the show, most of Google has been scrubbed of 9/11 truth.
Well, yeah, because I was trying to look up plane weights and whatnot, right? Because the architect of the trade towers said that he had built them to be designed to withstand the hit from a Boeing 707,
mm-hmm.
right? And the planes used that day were Boeing 757s and Boeing 767s.
Yeah.
Okay. Mind you, the Boeing 757 is around the same size as a 707.
Okay.
Right? The 767, on the other hand, is substantially smaller.
Yeah.
Than the 757 and the 707.
I'm not sure how this fits into our timeline, because it's already technically happened on 9/11, 2001. But did you know that the flight recording that was a recording made at the flight dispatch, whatever it's called, yeah. the flight building, they deleted it that day.
Yeah.
Before it could be handed over to investigators.
Yeah, the black box was never found either, was it?
They did find the passports.
Yeah. Is to say the building and you know, all these people died, but they managed to find unscathed passports from passengers on those planes in the rubble.
Basically what happened was the indestructible black boxes that were built to withstand plane crashes, those were destroyed.
Yeah.
But paper
was not.
Passports, when they crashed into the building, they actually fell to the ground in front of an FBI agent.
Oh, wasn't that really convenient?
Yeah. That's fine, though.
Now, as all this is going on, you would ask yourself, the FAA, who controls air traffic in the United States, obviously would have seen these planes changing their courses, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but two of the flights were out of Boston, going to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So, obviously, they would have had to change their trajectory to not fly there. Same thing with the last plane, which came out of New Jersey and mm-hmm. was going to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Same thing. That was 93, I do believe.
Yeah.
So, that being said, they would have seen it, which, assuming I'm a layman, but I have to know that if a plane suddenly changes trajectory, you can't make contact with said plane, right?
Yeah, that's when NORAD gets involved.
You would contact NORAD.
Yeah.
Because the next phase would be, of course, to get some scrambled jets.
Yeah, think of NORAD as a dispatch for the United States Air Force.
Yeah, to dispatch jets.
Quite honestly, they probably would have known and probably would have contacted the FAA before the FAA contacted them.
Yeah. So, they would have scrambled jets to either, A, take these planes down, figure out what their trajectory is, and what have you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be normal protocol, but why did none of that happen on that day?
Can I tell you why?
Yeah, you could tell me why.
So they had an air defense drill, a joint drill between Canada's Air Force and our Air Force. Mm-hmm. Just so happens that all the jets that were on the East Coast were up in Canada performing a training exercise mm-hmm. that day at that exact moment. Do you know what the drill was?
What was the drill? Tell me.
Hijacked aircraft.
Oh.
So basically, if they heard anything about hijacked aircraft, they were not sure if it was real or exercise. And you can tell that because some of the recordings that were released from NORAD, they had somebody call in NORAD and they said, hey, we've got this these three airliners that are off course. We can't make contact. Yeah. What do you want us to do? And he's like, is this real or exercise? He's like, we believe it's real. And you hear the guy, he's like, Everybody just stepped out of the room. I'll get back with you.
Yeah.
Hi, Boston Center TMU. We have a problem here. We have a hijacked aircraft headed towards New York, and we need you guys to, we need someone to scramble some F-16s or something up there to help us out.
Is this real world or exercise?
No, this is not an exercise, not a test.
Is he inbound to JFK?
We don't know.
You don't know where he is at all?
He's being hijacked. The pilot's having a hard time talking to the... I mean, we don't know. We don't know where he's going.
MCC, I don't know where I'm scrambling these guys to. I need a direction, destination.
Okay, I'm going to give you the Z point.
It's just north of New York City.
What?
No, sir.
It's the 737.
Wait, what?
The World Trade
Center. Who are you talking to?
They had a second possible hijack.
At almost the same moment, United 175 slams into the South Tower of the World Trade Center. But since the crashed plane cannot yet be identified, there is confusion over whether a third hijacked craft is in the air. That fear would prove prophetic. Meanwhile, the two scrambled F-15s had finally taken off from Otis Air National Guard Base on Cape Cod. But by the time those fighters were within 100 miles of New York, both planes had hit the Twin Towers. The pilots could see the smoke. Major Nasipany begins to discuss the option of shooting down a civilian airliner, though only President Bush has such authority. After reports of a third hijacked airliner, confusion mounts, but it does produce an appropriate order to scramble more jets.
Give me a location.
F-16 airborne now. That's the ones we have.
Okay, third aircraft hijacked heading towards Washington. Okay, American Airlines is still airborne. 11, the first guy, he's heading towards Washington. Okay, I think we need to scramble Langley right now, and I'm gonna take the fighters from Otis and try to chase this guy down if I can find him.
Are we going to shoot him down if they got passengers on board? Have they talked about that?
Here is another excerpt coming 12 minutes after what we now know to be the end of the attack.
United 93, have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land? Because we had confirmation.
He did not land.
But NEADS personnel had no way of knowing the attack was over. Fighter pilots would spend hours intercepting hundreds of other aircraft deemed suspicious. As promised, our great pleasure to turn to Gerald Posner, author of Why America Slept, The Failure to Prevent 9/11. Thanks again for your time, sir.
Absolutely, Keith.
One shocking element coming from the tapes, a hijacking exercise was planned the same day. Some personnel also talk about the attack being far worse than any simulation. Having heard this, do you think these people were even remotely prepared for this kind of event?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I mean, they clearly were prepared, if anything, only for a hijacking. And a hijacking exercise really means they take to the air, they follow a plane 5 miles behind the plane itself. If they really are concerned, they can fly up near the cockpit to see if the pilot's in some type of danger.
So they were basically... Now, this is where I will make a dive and say what I believe happened.
Okay.
They were... The Air Force, the jets, were scrambled in order to prevent the national defense from taking place.
Yeah.
So the first two planes hit Tower 1 and Tower 2.
Mm-hmm.
The third plane is still in question. I've read and seen things where the Air Force pilot or pilots, one or two of them, said, fuck this,
mm-hmm.
and they shot south.
Yeah.
They made it in time to intercept Flight 93.
Yeah.
And they shot it down.
So the official narrative that passengers stormed the cabin and...
Right, no, that's full, that's fucking bullshit from the Ministry of Truth.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Because what better way to further ride the wave of patriotism than to show the citizens' defiance?
Now, I unfortunately am going to Tarantino back because there is another point that has to be made, but it's in the guise of constantly poking holes through the official narrative here.
Yeah.
Okay, before the planes hit the towers... Phone calls were being made from inside the planes to family members.
Yeah. Even though back then they couldn't do that.
Yes. It was impossible.
Right.
Due to the technology of the time.
Right.
Even now, I would wager that if a plane was at 35,000 feet, you might still have a difficult time making a phone call on
this
the plane.
This is a part where if I can find a video, because they used to exist, of said phone calls, I will play them right now.
So, that being said... the question is, how were those passengers able to make those phone calls?
Well, it's interesting because if you heard it in the video, which, like I said, if it wasn't scrubbed, then you heard it. If it was scrubbed, then you didn't hear it. But the video that I heard before were of family members, and a few of them had questions. They were like, you know, let's just say, for instance, like, your name's Susan.
Yeah.
And you're my mom. And my name's Dave. And I'm like, Susan, you know, first and last name. This is your son, David. Last name. I'm on plane such and such. It has been taken over by men with box cutters. They've stormed the cabin, and I believe they're going to crash the plane. I love you, Mom. She's like, would that's not how your son talks to you.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, there was speculation as to whether or not these phone calls were real. First of all, you can't make them at the time, because they didn't have the proper technology for phone calls. Now you can do it.
Yeah.
Back then, you couldn't. And then you have scripted strange phone calls from your loved ones that aren't natural. So that's another weird indication of lies.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really nothing that should stand up in this argument for the like the actual narrative that they put forward.
Well, I think one of my favorite things is that, so when they, after 9/11 and they put together the 9/11 commission, they gave the 9/11 commission $15 million to do their investigation. Okay, do you want to know how little $15 million is in the grand scheme of things?
I would like to know that.
Well, quote me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Okay. But to put it in perspective, they spent upwards of some $80 million in investigations over the Monica Lewinsky scandal that Bill Clinton went through.
Priorities.
You know? Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy as fuck.
Yeah. Okay, freeze frame, back. A classroom.
Yeah.
George W. Bush.
Reading a book upside down.
Reading a book. He is told that a plane has hit the North Tower. Okay. Interviews afterward.
Said he watched it.
Yeah. he explained that he, in fact, had watched the first plane hit the tower, and then decided to go read a book to children anyways.
Yeah.
Even though possibly the greatest terrorist attack that this country has ever endured was commencing.
Yeah, another interesting fact is that we were never given footage of the plane striking the first building, I don't think.
No, no, no.
It was the second building.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe he just had...
Well, I remember that morning. I mean, I don't know, I don't want to get too reminiscent here, but...
Well, maybe we should. I mean, I'm sure everybody...
Everybody likes to kind of try to remember what they were doing when it happened, right?
Except for some of the ones that never lived through it, which is crazy to think about.
So...
We're getting old, son.
Yeah, I remember it was freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
Fresh year, you know? Yeah. School year just started.
And I was sick, because I didn't go to school that day.
Oh, you did?
I had to call it off.
Oh, okay.
Fake news.
Well, I was there. Anyways, so I get on my first block, because we had blocks back then. They were like an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
But school started at, I believe, was it 7:15? Somewhere in there. 7:30, 7:15, somewhere in there, right?
Yeah.
So school started, first block's over with, and as I'm like, I get out of my first block and I'm heading towards my algebra class, the hallways are a fucking buzz. Bzzz, like, did you hear what happened? And we're like, the plane hit a tower in New York and da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
You know, at that age, honestly, I don't know if I could recall if I knew about the Twin Towers before this actually happened.
Yeah, because we made it all the way to fucking freshman year and we never learned shit about New York City or anything relevant to our lives.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So continue. I'm sorry. There. So we get into my algebra class, and the TV's already on.
Yeah.
And you see these two towers, and you see, and the teacher wasn't even bothering, like, trying to, like, teach us anything or anything. We were just watching TV.
Yeah.
And we see smoke coming out of the tower, the North Tower.
Right.
And we're watching, and then all of a sudden, I thought suddenly they had cut to footage of the plane actually hitting the tower.
Right.
But I was mistaken.
Because that was the second plane.
It was footage of the second plane hitting right. the South Tower.
Man.
And I don't recall ever actually, like, we went the rest of that day, and I don't remember learning a thing, except we just sat and watched TV. And I remember that day, I was supposed to have football practice, and it was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, just go home. So I go home, you know. I mean, we're spooked. All of us are a little, like, we don't know what's going on. The Pentagon's been hit. The Twin Towers have been hit. There's a plane that got crashed in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And suddenly on the, like, everybody's in a fucking tizzy, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, fucking, the news comes on, and they're like, we think something has crashed in a field outside of Dayton, Ohio. They're like, there's smoke everywhere. They're sending first responders and da-da-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden, like, everything in the fucking house fucking rattles. Like, yeah. Boom, like that. And we're like, oh, my God.
What the fuck?
It was a crazy day for us. It turned out that the plane, it was just a plane going sonic.
Yeah.
Like, it was
supersonic.
It was going supersonic. And that was the noise, you know, I had never experienced that in my life before.
Right, yeah.
And considering the day and the time, it was a little bit jarring. And then you hear about another plane in Dayton.
Yeah.
And, you know, the crazy part is that it, like, it's all kind of a blur, but I remember it seems almost that night we already knew who had done it.
Oh, yeah. The media knew.
They told us right off the rip. We believe it was Osama bin Laden and his Al-Qaeda
right.
organization that were responsible for the attack.
What's interesting is Osama bin Laden, a.k.a. CIA asset named Tim Osman, had been under the CIA's employ since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it the 70s? He was funded by the CIA to fight with the Mujahideen.
It was the Soviet-Afghan War.
Okay. The Mujahideen. He was trying to fight out Russia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he had been on the FBI's most wanted list for a number of years mm-hmm. for other terrorist attacks.
Supposedly responsible for the World Trade Center bombing that happened in 1990.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but during this time frame, at some point, while being on that watch list, one of the most wanted terrorists in the world, he was receiving medical aid at a United States Army hospital overseas for dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
So that's weird.
Yes.
Also, did you know that he was never wanted up until he was quote-unquote killed by special forces? Hmm. Never one time on the FBI's the most wanted list was he ever listed as having anything to do with 9/11.
While doing research for this show, we decided that eventually Tim Osman was going to get an episode of his own.
Yeah, Tim Osman will get his own mm-hmm. day in the spotlight.
He's an interesting fellow. But anyways...
Real quick, though, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just to go with the fact that they never accused him officially of any action whatsoever involved with 9/11, five of the supposed masterminds of 9/11, 17 years later, are still in prison and have not been tried.
Hmm. Interesting. So, the Pentagon.
Yes.
Gets hit on its western side.
West side.
85 cameras were able to document said impact.
Yeah.
84 of those views have never seen the light of day.
Nope.
One has, and it is a terrible example of camera footage.
It's almost as bad as the story that a plane hit the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the whole, I want you everybody right now, if you haven't looked already, you get on Google, look up, you know, what the impact looked like on the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And if anybody out there, I challenge anybody, if anybody out there can show me a fuselage.
Right.
An engine.
Any of the two one-ton titanium engines.
Yeah.
Any seats, seat belts.
Any debris from a plane.
Look up fucking plane crashes.
Yeah.
And see what a plane crash looks like from traveling speed at altitude.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up in the sky. Plane falls at the fastest speed possible. You're going to have corpses. You're going to have seat belts. You're going to have fucking parts of a fucking plane.
Yeah.
Right? None of that exists.
Nothing.
For the Pentagon strike.
If you look at it, to me, it's a big ass hole.
Missile.
Well, yeah. It looks like it was struck by something that was meant for warfare.
Yeah. Also, one of the interesting stories that whistleblowers have talked about is that that part of the Pentagon, if I didn't already mention this, was the part that was handling the missing 2.6 or 2.3, whatever it was, trillion dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So it just so happens that all that information was held in that area.
So now that we got all the info out there, all the, I believe we got all the meat of this instance, right? Okay. This supposedly innocuous instance that was caused by an isolated group of terrorists. Now that we got that covered, I want to know why.
Okay, well, I got one more thing.
Okay.
Sorry to Tarantino. I know we didn't want to.
I know.
Speaking of tapes that were held, because the feds absorbed everything, they took fucking gas station camera footage from blocks away. Well, they also took security camera footage from the trade towers, and these still haven't made it to the light of day yet. This was from the lady we were talking about earlier. I encourage everyone to look up Susan Lindauer on YouTube, because there's a number of interviews with her. But she says that it was like a week or 2 weeks before 9/11, the security camera footage shows truck deliveries at the trade towers in between the time that maintenance leaves for the night, they're the last ones out of the building, and before everybody enters the building in the morning. There's about a five-hour window.
Huh.
And in the middle of that five-hour window, there's truck deliveries.
Yeah.
She believes that in that period of time, the buildings could have been completely set up with nanothermite, which the NIST report shows was present in the dust.
Hmm.
It would have only taken whoever called the shots and three operators to know about it.
So understand, this isn't necessarily a huge operation that they were like. And this one falls into my notion, my equation when it comes to conspiracy. How many people have to be involved for this to actually get off the ground?
You don't have to have many at all.
Very few.
And you only have to have people who, as we're finding out now with the QAnon leaks, all these fucking politicians are compromised. So if any of them try to ask questions, they're like, that's fine, keep asking questions, as they hold up a video of him fucking 9-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think I'm going to go golfing.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
You don't have to have Bush secretly holding the fucking remote-controlled aircraft, you know, remote to fly the plane in the building.
Yeah.
This could have been done with eight people.
Yeah.
Six people.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. That being said, I go back to what I believe to be the next part of the discussion.
You asked why.
Why?
So, I think in order to fan out properly, we should follow what Chris Tucker said in the second Rush Hour movie.
Okay.
Follow the rich white man.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it then.
Well, in this case, he's not necessarily white. He's more of a Jew, but whatever. White shade. Larry Silverstein, the leaseholder of, I believe, all three? Buildings.
Yeah.
World Trade Center, perhaps more. But he is on video talking in demolition terms about Building 7. And he mentions the term pull it, which is a demolition term for blowing up a building.
Yeah.
He talks about Building 7. And he's like, well, we just decided that due to the catastrophic loss of life in the first two attacks that it was... You know, the architecture was so questionable in Building 7, we just decided to pull it. So the order was made to pull it, and then we watched the building collapse.
World Trade Center 7 had always been considered the starting point for rebuilding. Located north of the slurry wall, 7 had been cleared faster than the rest of the site, and there had been no bodies to recover. Pelted by debris when the North Tower collapsed, 7 burned until late afternoon, allowing occupants to evacuate to safety.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. And I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
Keep in mind, in order to set up a demolition, you can't just be like, ah, man, fuck, all those buildings fell. Look at all this damage. Let's just go ahead and blow that one up. You don't just fucking do that. That shit takes hours, mm-hmm. days,
yeah.
weeks, perhaps, as they were doing.
Lots of planning to figure out how the logistics of said demolition.
Right. So he also went to court and sued his insurance company
mm-hmm.
because they tried to give him, he had terrorism insurance
mm-hmm.
on the buildings.
Yeah.
They gave him a lump sum payment of something like $1 billion.
Yeah.
And he sued them because he was asserting that it was not one act of terrorism, it was three acts of terrorism.
Huh.
So he got three times the money.
Yeah. Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if we should, I'm going to save the occult aspect for the very end.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so that being said, I'm going to take it back just for a quick minute, because you know what? Fuck it. We're Tarantino, this bitch.
I knew we were going to, even after you said we shouldn't. That's what we do. That's what
Listen, no, we got the timeline of events down. That's all I really wanted to do. We're Tarantino, this bitch. 1996. The Anti-Terrorism Act is being tried. They're trying to pass it through Congress, right?
Yeah.
By the time it passes, it has been so fucking stripped of all of its fucking might and power,
yeah,
that it really doesn't enforce anything anymore.
Most of the tyranny had been sucked out of it.
Exactly. As it should have been.
Exactly.
Right.
Shouldn't even have existed in the first place.
Now, imagine when you take this bill and then you cut it down, you cut all the parts you don't like out of it and all this shit,
yeah.
and you have all these free-floating parts just moving around that they can't enact, right? Now, eventually down the road, we need to wait for an event to happen that allows us to take these free floating bodies, reform them into something new, and the American people will fucking buy it wholesale.
Yeah, due to fear.
Yeah, due to fear, right? Of this ever happening again. Thus, we get on October 2nd, 2001, less than a month after 9/11.
Yeah.
As if their intentions weren't clear enough, the Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm.
What's the Patriot Act, you might ask? Well, the Patriot Act's not more or less a violation of your 4th, 8th, maybe even your 14th Amendment rights.
Yeah.
They don't have to have a warrant to come into your home.
No.
Under the Patriot Act. They can surveil you without getting a warrant. And they can detain you for an insurmountable amount of time.
Indefinitely, with no cause.
Yeah,
I'm going to Tarantino it also, because one of the more recent uses of the Patriot Act was used on a 17-year-old Indiana boy.
Imagine if your family was awakened in the middle of the night by a team of federal officers. Well, that's exactly what happened to a woman and her children in Granville County.
Amanda Lamb is in the newsroom joining us now. And Amanda, we understand that because this case falls under the Patriot Act, a lot of the usual rights for defendants not available here.
That's right, David. The Patriot Act was created after 9/11. It allows federal agents to investigate suspected cases of terrorism swiftly in order to better protect our country. But one Granville County mother says it gives the federal government too much leeway. Her son was taken into federal custody 2 months ago. She can't get him out, and she can't get any answers. 16-year-old Ashton Lundeby's bedroom is nothing if not patriotic. American flags everywhere. But according to the United States government, this 10th grader, who has never been in trouble with the law before, is now a suspected terrorist.
I was terrified. There were guns, and I don't like guns around my children. I don't believe in guns.
On March 5th, around 10 o'clock in the evening, Annette Lundeby says 10 armed FBI agents, along with three local officers, stormed her home looking for her son. They handcuffed him and presented her with a search warrant.
They said that he was being arrested for making numerous bomb threats.
Annette Lundeby told the officers that someone stole her son's IP address and used it to make crank calls through the internet, making it look like the calls had originated from her home. She says the FBI's extensive search of her home turned up nothing.
No bomb-making materials, not even a blasting cap, not even a wire, I don't even know how to make bombs, but they didn't find anything.
The teenager was taken to a juvenile facility in Indiana, where the bomb threat was supposedly made. His mother has had little access to him since his arrest. She says the Patriot Act stripped her son of his right to due process.
And we have no rights under the Patriot Act to even defend them, because the Patriot Act supersedes, basically, is superseding the Constitution.
There's nothing a matter of public record. All those normal rights are just suspended in the air.
Dan Boyce is a former U.S. attorney.
It's a new law, and I'm sure there were very, very good intentions.
But Boyce believes the Patriot Act has gone too far in some cases, and Ashton Lundeby's may just be one of them.
It very well could be a case of overreaction where an agent leapt to certain conclusions or has made certain assumptions about this individual and about how serious the threat really is.
Because there is a gag order in the case, the U.S. attorney in Indiana told us he could not comment, nor could the FBI. The North Carolina Highway Patrol did confirm they assisted the FBI with its operation at the Lundeby home on March 5th.
Never in my worst nightmare did I ever think that it would be my own government that I would have to protect my children from. This is the United States.
This kid was homeschooled, right? Because his parents did not like the public schooling system.
Yeah.
As they shouldn't have. You know, congratulations.
Yeah.
But to show multiple aspects of the government's hatred for both personal freedom, privacy, and homeschool kids, some hacker had gotten into this kid's IP address,
mm-hmm.
apparently, somehow. I'm not a hacker. I don't know what I'm talking about. But they used his IP address to voice over IP phone call a bomb threat into a bank.
Mm-hmm.
And it led back to his IP. So the feds came in, took this 17-year-old kid who was homeschooled, didn't know shit about the world, and locked him up. Mm-hmm. Under the Patriot Act, you have no contact, no visits, no phone calls, no attorneys.
Yeah.
What do you think that did to that 17-year-old kid?
Probably drove him insane.
Yeah. I don't know where he is. I can't find anything on him anymore. He might still be locked up.
Okay.
But like Winston Churchill said, never let a good crisis go to waste.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, oh, I believe they squeezed every bit of fucking juice out of that berry.
Oh man, there's so much.
They fucking used all the juice, then they took the scraps and they fucking ground that into compost to use for something else. You know what I mean? Like,
interesting fact too, the Patriot Act. Susan Lindauer, the one we were talking about, the CIA asset, she was the first female to be locked up under the Patriot Act in the United States.
Wow, isn't that a coincidence?
That's fine.
No
problem, because she sought peace instead of conspiracy.
That being said, the entire industrial military complex basically got a reboot with 9/11.
Yeah, and unlimited funding for generations.
They were given fucking carte blanche.
They're still riding that dick.
Yeah, the fucking the military, the fucking CIA, every fucking alphabet soup fucking government organization has rode that fucking wave right into the gravy train station.
Right.
With biscuit wheels.
Ooh wee.
To keep getting that fucking money.
Ooh wee.
From us.
Yeah.
In the guise that they're protecting us.
And I don't know, I mean, what the percentage is. I mean, I've seen the analytics on our downloads and the age group, but with our growing audience, there has to be a number of people out there that are both, that lived through this event and didn't live through this event. So the ones that I want to talk to you now are the ones that have lived through it. And if you haven't taken the time, because I hadn't until recently,
mm-hmm.
to think about what had changed. Everything changed after 9/11.
You have to gauge our entire history in the United States of America on it's based off of the pre and post 9/11 world.
Completely different.
Yes.
Entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of leads into the occult thing, but I think if we've still got meat to go through, I'll wait. I'm still going to wait.
Well, as I say, just a few more fun facts for y'all that we might not mention before. So, if you think like the only people who believe that 9/11 was conspiracy were crazy conspiracists, laymen like ourselves and things like that.
Tinfoil hat wearing.
Yeah, us types. No. 1,700 plus engineers and architects went on to support a real-life independent 9/11 investigation.
You know how many there are today?
How many of them are there today?
3,000 plus.
Oh.
Continue to sign their names and credentials to that list.
Yeah.
Okay, so we took a quick break to find out. I mean, I'm sure we missed a few things, but we do the best we can here at the Buns and Tops podcast for posterity reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put a video in here right now of a C-SPAN recording for an interview where they're interviewing the Transportation Secretary, Norman Mineta.
I wanted to focus just a moment on the Presidential Emergency Operating Center. You were there for a good part of the day. I think you were there with the Vice President. And we had that order given, I think it was by the President, that authorized the shooting down of commercial aircraft that were suspected to be controlled by terrorists. Were you there when that order was given?
No, I was not. I was made aware of it during the time that the airplane coming in to the Pentagon, there was a young man who would come in and say to the Vice President, the plane is 50 miles out. The plane is 30 miles out. And when it got down to the plane is 10 miles out, the young man also said to the Vice President, do the orders still stand? And the Vice President turned and whipped his neck around and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary? Well, at the time, I didn't know what all that meant. And
the flight you're referring to is the
Flight that came into the Pentagon.
Pentagon, yeah.
And so I was not aware that that discussion had already taken place. And but in listening to the conversation between the young man and the Vice President, then at the time I didn't really recognize the significance of that. And then later I heard of the fact that the airplanes had been scrambled from Langley to come up to D.C., but those planes were still about 10 minutes away. And so then at the time we heard about the airplane that went into Pennsylvania, then I thought, oh my God, did we shoot it down? And then we had to, with the Vice President, go through the Pentagon to check that out.
Let me see if I understand. The plane that was headed toward the Pentagon and was some miles away, there was an order to shoot that plane down.
Well, I don't know that specifically, but I do know that the airplanes were scrambled from Langley or from Norfolk, the Norfolk area, and but I did not know about the order specifically, other than listening to that other conversation.
But there very clearly was an order to shoot commercial aircraft.
Subsequently, I found that out.
With respect to Flight 93, what type of information were you and the Vice President receiving about that flight?
The only information we had at that point was when it went into when it crashed.
I see. You didn't know beforehand about that airplane?
Did not.
And so there was no specific order there to shoot that plane down?
No, sir.
But there were military planes in the air in position to shoot down commercial aircraft.
That's right. The planes had been scrambled, I believe, from Otis at that point.
Okay, so you just listened to that video where, and I'm not sure how far he goes into it, but basically, in the Presidential Control Center at the time, during this continuity of government exercise, during 9/11, while it was going down, they were tracking these planes as they went in. The radio operator keeps asking, you know, and he keeps saying a certain distance as the planes get closer, you know, there's such and such time out, you know, did the order still stand to let it, you know, a no shoot down order was given by Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
And he basically was like, did you hear me fucking change the order?
Yeah.
No, you didn't. Let the motherfucker hit it.
Huh.
So we got that.
Yeah, and nice.
Norman Mineta has since tried to recant his claims because I'm sure he got threatened, but fuck. I don't know.
They showed him a picture of a dick pic that he had sent to a
Taiwanese lady boy.
Yeah. Like, do you remember sending this? Oh, God. Yeah, you best keep your goddamn mouth shut.
Right. It's just interesting. You know, I mean, there for a long time, Because I think we both agree. I'm pretty sure 9/11 was the catalyst that woke both of us up out of the slumber.
And I think that's why I like to. I had a very special place in my heart for this episode, because it's like I told you. I was like, this is the conspiracy that got the whole fucking ball rolling.
I like to think that I, through one of our drunken encounters in the past, was the one that pushed this pill in your throat.
Yeah.
Because I remember you used to be able to, like, talk truth into people. Mm-hmm. You'd be able to, like, sit down in a bar or whatever, talk to them. This was during my bar days.
Yeah.
And I remember I was constantly distilling, because I found that the longer this went on, the less and less time people gave you to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because as the fear dissipated into just a sort of day-to-day operations fear, instead of an actual terrorizing fear, you had less and less attention. People were more likely to just shrug you off.
Mm-hmm.
So I distilled it down to a quick 30-second conversation. Typically took place in the bathroom of said bar.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got to piss when they're drinking.
Yeah.
So we're standing in urinal lines, and I just look over at somebody and be like, hey, you know how many buildings fell on 9/11? And they'd be like, yeah, two. I'm like, really? Okay. No, it was actually three.
Yeah.
And they'd give you that look. Like you had somehow coded them to wake up.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, yeah, man, building seven wasn't even hit by a plane. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have a lifelong friend that follows the podcast that I met from Steinkeller's bathroom.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's good.
That's cool.
Shout out to you, sir.
That's nice.
But I think that's pretty much everything. I mean, we've...
You know what kills me, though, in all reality is, like, and because 9/11 is a good jumping off point for trying to convince someone that there's something much more insidious going on than what we've been led to believe.
Right.
It's the abject apathy of it all.
Yeah. Apathy makes me sick.
A lot of people, like, more or less just know 9/11, whatever they told us happened, didn't actually happen.
Right. What are we going to do about it?
Exactly.
We all know that they're corrupt, but Trump draining the swamp.
But the thing here, and that's the thing, though. So, as far as I'm concerned, every politician that was active during that time, and probably a lot of them that are still active now, are complicit.
Yeah. The only ones I've heard speak truthfully about it were Ron Paul. I think Rand Paul alluded to it some.
Mm-hmm.
Secretary of Transportation Mineta, before they showed him his dick pic that he sent to that Taiwanese lady boy.
Yeah.
He talked about it. They've had a few that risked their life and their treasure, but we are living through generations of apathetic cowards right at this time.
Yeah.
Hopefully, with this new revelation of the QAnon thing, we're starting to shed that coil into a new age of enlightenment. I'd like to get into the occult aspect.
I want to hear about it. I really do. I want to hear this last... I think it'd be a good way to end the episode is talk about the possible occult aspects of 9/11.
Now, there's only a few things that I know, and I'm going to... I have two questions for you,
because
I feel like you will know things that I don't know, and if you don't know, we're at least going to throw the seeds out in the field for the people to plant in their minds and look up themselves.
Yeah.
There's a symbology behind the tower symbol, both in the tarot deck...
Yeah.
And what have you. So they had two towers
that
got destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about the tower card? That's my question that you should think about for a second. Because they, as they destroyed the tower, they rebuilt the tower as One World Trade.
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen pictures of it, it looks crazy.
Yeah.
So one tower. So there's that symbology. But also, the Pentagon represents the Faustian pentagram, the Faustian agreement. And that's my next question. If you could first expand on anything you know about the tower symbol, and then tell the story of Faust.
Okay. Well, the tower in the tarot deck, if you were to be getting your cards read and you received the tower card, that's an ominous card.
Okay.
That's destruction.
Yeah.
Destruction in your personal life, destruction of your house, proverbially.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good card to get.
Okay.
I mean, even if you look at the card itself, it's a dreadful card to behold. Now, the Faustian pentagram, anybody out there doesn't know, it's based off of a story about a Dr. Faust. Dr. Faust was a man of science and knowledge and everything you can imagine. And he realized that no matter how much he read and how much he did, he was never going to be able to find all the truth, right?
Right.
All the knowledge.
Yeah.
So he entered into a pact with the demon Mephistopheles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole... It's a story, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The Faustian pentagram is an incomplete pentagram.
Right. The pentagram is used as a symbol of protection from whatever entity you're using in said art.
Yeah.
Or magical act, right?
Yeah. So the reason being that the Faustian pentagram is an incomplete pentagram is because it represents the fact that you alone cannot help yourself. That you need to basically employ the Dark Lord
To do so. You're breaking the protection to let the demon in.
Exactly.
Right.
Because you think that you can't do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm. So there's that aspect of it. There's also a numerological meaning behind the numbers 9/11, much like most of the dates that some of these things happen on. The date itself is symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
That's a seed I'm planting because I don't know enough about that to speak on it. But there's definitely something there because we talked earlier about the change.
Yeah.
The whole thing of 9/11 was blood sacrifice, in my opinion.
That, and imagine the psychic impact that day had.
Oh, yeah.
Even this day, I went through my feed this morning, and everybody remembers it.
Yeah.
People remember that shit, it all happened to us.
Yeah.
Right? And That's the thing. It happened to every single one of us. Right. We all felt it in our own way.
And it was meant to be used that way.
Exactly. Like, it was like some crazy blood sacrifice that we were all forced to witness.
Right. And it kind of ties in, interestingly enough, with that thing we talked about the other night with the how they, in quotations, this cabal of dark magicians or whatever it is at the very, very top of the capstone cabal,
mm-hmm.
how they will utilize the unwashed masses into garnering all their energy mm-hmm. behind a rite or a magical act. And we were talking the other night about the whole Nike burning thing.
Yeah.
Like how they, like, just to look at that scenario on paper, you have a board of directors for every corporation.
And they get they make the final call on a lot of things, right?
Right. So these motherfuckers at the top of Nike had to have known that signing Colin Kaepernick was not a good idea for their sports brand.
Well, yeah, because, okay, so I was trying to talk to somebody about it the other day. I don't know if they got exactly what I was trying to say. But I basically broke it down to him like this. I said, think about it like this. I was like, you're in that board meeting. They get to make the final call. They just made him the spokesperson of their company, right?
Yeah.
So I assume a board, it wasn't just some art director who made that decision.
Right.
It was like a board of directors on a vote. They were like, we want him. Okay. They picked, and this is the thing. I got nothing against Kaepernick. We've talked about it on the show before.
Right.
In all reality, he's got legitimate gripes.
Do your thing, man. If you want to throw it away and...
Now, there's certain things I would disagree with him on.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think there's legitimacy to a lot of things he says.
Right.
But that being said... I
think he's grandstanding, too. That's not important.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But here's... like, we talked about that already. Anyways, They decided to make this man, who is possibly one of the most polarizing human beings in the nation...
Largely unpopular.
The face of the most popular sports brand in the country.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were tapped to do that, I think.
Oh, definitively.
Because Nike is a symbol.
It's the goddess, the Greek goddess of victory.
Yeah.
At the right hand of Zeus.
So you have the unwashed masses burning a symbol of victory as we're in this revelatory time frame where it appears that people inside the government, the white hats, are attempting to shed out the evil, right? Into the daylight.
And you think about who are the psychic supporters of the White Hats.
Right.
The general public.
The
general public, right.
So they are trying to make them take part in a ritual where they burn victory.
Yeah.
So that's neat.
Mm-hmm.
And then also another one that everybody will remember is the ALS challenge. Where mm-hmm. we were dumping, well, I didn't do it, but a lot of people did. Where they dumped ice water on themselves and then challenged others to do it. That was another thing where they used the mass consciousness as a psychic battery mm-hmm. to fuel something or other. But ice water, dumping it, cleansing your body, is the opening ritual to a satanic act.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's much like, you know, because water is pretty much the universal symbol of the medium between the physical and the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
And the dark occultists can never create anything. They can only bastardize.
Yeah.
So it's like the polar opposite of baptism.
No.
So in order to purify oneself... Instead
of putting someone in water, you're taking the water out of something and putting it on them.
Right, ice water too.
Yeah.
So, pole ice, you know, all that occult aspect.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have plenty of historical references to things where they've used us, the unwashed masses, into their own thing.
I think the whole victory thing, I think the whole Nike victory thing, though... I think it's their last gasp of attempts before...
Oh, they're definitely going to pull out all the stops.
Considering if what's to be believed is true, like, and we talked about on the show before, what possibly is coming down the road, i.e. a fucking calling out of these evil cock-sucking motherfuckers.
Yeah, child-fucking degenerates.
It's...
dark occultists, spirit cookers.
It's gonna... and here's the crazy part. This is the craziest part to me, because I've been trying to put in my head, like, post-revelation, what is gonna happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a bad feeling that there is a group, big group of people that are just gonna be like... you know what's crazy is? All the people that think they're not conspiracy theorists are suddenly gonna become conspiracy theorists when they're like, oh, well, this is all fake. This is a coup. This is a coup by Trump to try to take over the government and create a dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if it's true, and a lot of these people are involved in it, it's going to literally, like, send shockwaves through the entire, like, psyche of America itself.
Well, think about this, too. If they get what they want, the ones that are trying to be purged, as we've talked before, you never corner an animal. They yeah. know that it's their time to be called out. They're going to pull out every single stop that they can. And I will use this platform one more time to warn everybody, because we all kind of feel something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've seen anything yet. 9/11 was terrible.
Yeah.
But what they're going to do to us...
you got to know the right time to thrust the spear. You know what I mean? They got them cornered.
Yeah.
If they don't thrust it at the right moment, it could be fucking...
9/11 was nothing compared to what they'll do to you.
Devastating.
Right. So, I would also take another call to action with QAnon. QMAP.pub. Check it out. Keep an eye on it. Because, once again, last week, during our time away from you, fine folks, the Bones and Tubs Nation, QAnon and Donald Trump both came together, and we're talking about being prepared, the importance of preparedness, the month of preparedness. It's not a bad idea to have some extra food laying around, some extra water.
Water.
Especially if we're going into the winter is coming.
Like, if shit seems like it's about to break off, quick survival tip.
Yeah.
Plug your tub, fill that fucker up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to drink bath water as much as the next motherfucker.
But it's better than fucking...
it's better than fucking dying of dehydration,
What do
too.
You get? 3 minutes without oxygen, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food?
Yep. The rule of three.
And if you think you're going to go down to the store anytime after something crazy happens... think back to the last time you tried to shop for groceries in Ohio. Listen, when there was a storm coming.
If shit happens and you decide you're going to the grocery store to try to get supplies, you best go heavy. That's all I'm going to say about that.
But
you best go fucking heavy.
We've talked about it before. The generative principle is care. Take care. Take care of your families. Don't sit back in apathy and wait for something to happen and expect the government to take care of you, because they're not
Jesus,
going to.
No. I think that about wraps it up for the show.
Yeah.
I think we... it's a good long show. I enjoyed the show. I thought this was a great one.
Yeah.
I
just hope we did it justice.
I do too. And I think we hit the bullet points well today.
I just...
It's a big monster to tackle. And yeah. I think we did at least a decent job of fucking wrangling it in.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to continue to tell people about 9/11 truth, because that's the linchpin in this new society that we live in. If we can prove that that was a fucking act... of either, however you want to attack it, an occult ritual, a fucking, you know, corporations takeover, military-industrial complex, or just a dark cabal. I mean, there's something there. There's meat on those bones.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to share that. We got to tell them to check out the website, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, wearechange.org, and just 9/11 Truth in general. Those are the ones I wrote down for shout-outs.
And with that, we'd like to thank you all for listening. We'd like to thank all of our Patreon contributors.
Yes. Head over to patreon.com/bonesandtubs.
If you're not one yet, join the nation.
Help us out.
Yeah.
At the very least, if you don't want to go to patreon.com/bonesandtubs, tell a couple of your friends.
Yeah.
Tell them about the podcast. Our numbers have been growing. I've been enjoying the shit out of talking to everybody.
Yeah.
It's become almost a part-time job.
Yeah.
And I enjoy every minute of it.
I need to get better at it. I know I'm being negligent.
It's fine.
But my introverted ways, you know.
We all have our roles.
I'm the hermit. Remember, yeah. We talked about this. Didn't you say I was the hermit and you're the fool?
I'm the fool, yeah.
That's why we work together so well.
It's a teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work, they say. Check us out on Instagram.
Yeah.
Check us out on Facebook. We're on every podcatcher. We're on YouTube. We'd love the numbers. Subscribe, follow, do everything you got to do. Share. BonesandTubs.com.
We still running that t-shirt thing?
We are.
Okay.
If you want a chance at a t-shirt, and I'm just going to say this, the odds are stacked in your favor.
Yeah.
Give us a shout out. Or I'm sorry. Give us a review on iTunes. Screenshot it. Send it to bonesandtubs@gmail.com.
Or a review on any of the podcatchers will do.
Yeah, screenshot. Be sure to follow us. Like I said, share. Get the word out. We're trying to grow this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to do the great work.
We'd like to thank y'all for listening.
We thank Ryan Simpson, too.
For using his music on the show.
I'm going to try to get that new album and start previewing some of his music at the end of the show.
We hope you all enjoyed it. We hope you have a good week.
Yes.
And we hope to see you next time.
We love you.
We really do.